Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private, parent-choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is September 29th, 2015, and we're going to talk about what girls need. Specifically, the topic is, what do teen girls need? My guest is Matthew Bartlett. Good morning. Still morning here, Matt. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Lon.
Now, Matt is the executive director of New Haven, Saratoga Springs, Utah campus. That's down in the Salt Lake area. He has five children and worked with at-risk youth for 14 years. So, Matt, do you want to just start it right off? What do teen girls need? What does the average typical teen girl need that all girls seem to be universally need?
Yeah, when you boil it down to, I think it's really about that these young women need to feel valued and to feel worthwhile, and not only from their own eyes, but from people around them.
Mm-hmm. How is that different from boys? Because boys need to feel valued too. But do girls tend to need a different type of value or manifest in different ways than boys?
Yeah, I think boys feel that same need as well. But the girl is, in my experience, has really been almost more intensely, that they're really looking to fight through society's need to have a very externally validated value and worth. And what's really missing is that internal value. So they're really fighting against society as a whole, and just their gender nature that says, hey, I've got a, I need a pretty face, or I need to look a certain way, or I need to be a certain way. And instead of really saying, hey, this is who I am, innately, these are the things that are important to me, and I need to have people around me that see those same things too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so most teen girls grow up, they're fairly typical, relatively healthy, and becoming adults, but some go off the rails, and that's what you guys see there at New Havens. What happens to that process that the girls are going through? What interrupts, or what's been the main problem that you've seen?
I think that what we see the most of is that these young women experience some sort of trauma, and trauma, a lot of times, people think, oh, it's got to be these significant events, being abused or, something like that. But girls experience traumas in different ways. So, being bullied, even understand something about themselves that is hard to hear, right? Like being diagnosed with ADHD or something that is more difficult for them to understand. And so they have these events, these precipitating events in their life, either something that they are inherently wired biologically, or that they're experiencing in life, so that they create a framework or a story around, what those events mean, and they try to create some kind of understanding about what that means in their life, and it doesn't always turn out well. So they may seek out external validation from the opposite sex, or they may seek, drugs and alcohol, or they may try to receive, relief through self-harm. And those things, as they get a payoff from those kind of behaviors, it just gets, worse and worse, and they get further away from their true self.
So if a girl seems to be going off the rails, and I'm thinking of parents that might consider residential treatment or some sort of therapy. But if a girl's starting to go off the rails, what sort of interventions, what could the parents try to bring in to meet some of these needs? First thing, I presume, is to listen and try to find out what it is that's bothering them, and that might be difficult. But I presume that would be the first question, is try to figure out what's going on, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of these parents, the first thing is that they are trying to keep their daughters safe. So a lot of them just don't know, because it's so unfamiliar territory, and trying to deal with, issues around self-harm or suicidality or things like that, that their first goal is, how do I keep my daughter safe? How do I keep her out of harm's way from herself and maybe other people? And so they try to do, they may send them to a hospital, or they may, take them out of the school that they're at and try to find maybe a smaller environment that will help them to do that. Sometimes we've had parents that even have started to homeschool their daughters in attempts to give them space to try to figure some things out. But a lot of times it's, you know, it can be perpetuating the same problem over and over again because they're trying to fix the behavior. And what they really need is to try to understand what's underlying that behavior and why they're doing what they're doing, and then what role they have as parents in trying to help with that, because these girls don't exist in isolation. They're family systems that are really important in trying to understand what's really going on.
That sort of reminds me of way back in the 50s. It died out in the 50s, but at the time, and if you ever watch some of the beach movies, this was an indication. A girl could not talk to somebody else, particularly another boy, unless they were properly introduced. Well, that was the parents' ability to try to control who a girl associated with. And I could see why it disappeared, but I can also see the reason for it, because parents try to protect girls from bad company, and particularly the bad boy that girls seem to be often attracted to.
Right, and right now there's really less of that ability as a parent to even navigate that. So with social media, cell phones, I mean, there really is no, you don't even really need to have a relationship with someone and ever meet them face to face if you really want to. But the relationships themselves are really surface, and they can be whoever they want to be and get support in whatever way that they, you know, need to get support. So there's no real context out there that says, hey, you know, spend time with this boy, and people are going to monitor, and you watch it play out, and you give them feedback. It's, I can go and I can send a couple of texts that with abbreviated language, and that's the nature of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And they're also happening so quickly. So I remember too, you know, sitting around at home, you know, waiting, you know, for the phone call from my friends about what we're going to do, you know, with the extension cord that I could drag into my room for privacy. But right now you just send a message, hey, I'll be there in 2 seconds, or if they're not responding, then we actually are creating anxiety, right? Because what's going on? Why aren't they texting me back? And then the brain starts to make all these stories up about, hey, what's really going on? Because we're so used to getting information, you know, back and forth so quickly.
Oh yeah, people you email them and then they get upset if they haven't responded, or text them, get upset if they haven't responded in 5 minutes or something like that. Well, I fail
right
on that one. I don't look at my text for hours sometimes on my phone, or even days sometimes. Oh, I got to check, see if somebody's texted me on that. Well, can you think of an example of a typical girl that you had worked with that maybe personifies this problem? She was having problems. It was so serious enough had to go to for residential treatment. And what you did to try to heal her. What were the important steps you went through, or thinking you went through?
Yeah, there's so many. So I think that most recently, one of the young women that I was working with had lost her father, and was living with her mom and her sister. And really up until the point of losing her father, that was really kind of a definitive event. And she started to reach out and connect with boys. She started to drink. She was so managing a lot of her emotions through self-harm. She, you know, wasn't following the rules. Mom would, you know, try to implement them. But just being a single mom was struggling to figure out how do I hold these boundaries, and when her daughter was around, she was, you know, just happy that she was even getting that much from her. So the expectations and things around her daughter just kept going down and down, and just more and more pain within the family. So a few of the things that we focused on was, one was finding healthy relationships with males, so either through male staff or through myself as her therapist, but not in a fatherly way, because she had a father, so not about replacing him, but identifying the traits and things about the nature of the relationship that she had with him that was so important, and what made her feel good about that relationship and coming back to it.
So you were sort of a friend or a mentor? How would you describe your role?
Yeah, so I don't know about friend or mentor, but more about just a strong, consistent male role model in her life, someone that would be able to not only support and really love and care about her, but at the same time have good boundaries with her, like to challenge, because I'm still her therapist. So there was an element of saying, hey, but she needed more than just, like, you know, traditional therapy says that, hey, we've got to have really good boundaries in the relationships with our clients. But these are teenage girls that need to know that there's people that love and care about them, even their therapist. So you can still love and care about them and have good boundaries with them. So she needed to know that that she had both of those with me, and that what we really focused on more is, was how does she healthily have a healthy attachment in a way that where she could be connected and not continue to push good relationships away in her life.
Okay, so what are some of the other issues you talked about or things that she needed to fill in? Or is that the main one, develop a relationship and by you sort of validating her, by seeing her value?
So that was definitely a key element. The other piece was having her heal from the trauma of losing her dad, but doing that as a family, because the whole family needed to heal. So not only herself, but her mom and her sister. So doing things with them. So one of the things that we were able to do was to, part of what New Haven does is we do home visits with our families, and if that's something that they need. So I actually went and did work with them in their home around that. How could they honor the life of their father, but then also look for opportunities to move on, because he had a lot of power in a negative way, and they weren't honoring that relationship with him. So we're helping him work through that piece together as a family was another key piece.
I think one of the takeaways the parents should take from that is the importance of when a kid goes off the rails, when a girl goes off the rails and they're getting the behavioral problems, there needs to be a third-party person, somebody can be a little bit more objective, doesn't have the ongoing relationship like yourself or an RTC or a therapist or somebody. In the old days, 100 years or so ago, it might be the barber or the hairdresser or the butcher, somebody in the community that would take that role and try to help them, an uncle maybe.
Yeah, and I remember growing up that I had those people. So I had my group of friends, but I remember that I had a good church leader that happened to be like a neighbor that lived close by, and he was someone that I was able to go and spend time with and connect, and he was very positive in my life, and I've seen that same result with my own children, that they have people outside of myself, people that I know share the same values and that I trust, that can influence them in ways that I may not be able to as their parent. And so being able to find those people are important. And really, and that's sometimes a struggle, because the families often feel a lot of shame around the behaviors of their daughter, and they don't know where to turn because they're afraid of how people may view them. They may they get worried about, like, where will that information go, and so it gets a lot of times these families feel pretty lonely in the in getting help for their daughters.
So they have to reach out. Yeah, you know, when they get isolated like that, that's where pastors come in, or therapists, or even a trusted friend. Okay, well, we've about ran out of time, and this is something we could go on for a long time. But I'll give you about a half a minute. You want to tell about what New Haven is and how somebody could get a hold of you if they wanted or interested in New Haven or wanted to talk to you some more about this topic?
Yeah, so New Haven is a residential treatment for adolescent girls ages 12 to 18, located just south of Salt Lake. We have currently three campuses. We serve close to 100 families, and we work very closely and very intently with families. We are a family-based program. We are very invested in not only the work that these young women need to do, but their families as a whole. A lot of our girls that are coming in are struggling with anxiety, depression, have experienced trauma, histories of, you know, eating disorder and self-harm, and have been typically in multiple treatment stays and are really looking for a final place to really get the help that they need. The way to get a hold of us would be to contact us either to go online to www.newhavenrtc.com, or they can talk to someone from our admissions department at 888-317-3958, and they'd be happy to walk through and talk more about the different therapy offerings that we have, and get to a better sense of if New Haven's the right fit for their daughter and their family.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate having you here. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and been talking about what do teen girls need, and my guest has been Matt Bartlett, the Executive Director of New Haven Saratoga Springs Utah Campus for New Haven RTC. Thank you very much, Matt. Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Lon. Thanks for having me.